Oh, thank you for spending time with me today. Rush so wants to be with you. It's really hard on him. It's talking to the people at EIB telling me this. He's doing what needs to get done. He is to take care of himself. We need the Maha back. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush. Thanks to my friends at KTTH. Radio at KTTH.com. Do the morning show there. I'm doing this from the studio in Seattle, so I appreciate that very much. There's so much that we've covered in this show, and there's a bit of a structure to it. The first hour, we talked about what we as a nation have learned about our president, Donald Trump. We've learned that he cares about America. We've learned that he is going to make an incredibly brave, incredibly difficult decision that's going to require walking the razor's edge, and he's prepared to do it. That razor's edge is caring for the economy, which if it sinks, if it goes down into 30, 40% unemployment, you will have death. You'll have it through suicides. You'll have it through depression, lack of health. You could have generational health problems. And he's going to, on the other side of that razor walk, he's going to take care of the American people, the most vulnerable. He is looking for that razor's edge. And this is an act of bravery that great leaders go through. The second hour, we talked about what we've learned about the left. Because we've learned they're worse than we thought. Well, I mean, that's difficult, but we learned that they're more cold and calculating than we could have ever imagined with what they're shoving into this bill. Tom Cotton, senator, joined us to talk about that. He's front and center to that. So we talked about that. In this particular segment of the show, I want to talk about what we have learned from this experience and what we can continue to learn so we protect ourselves. But I want to start by going to the Maharishi. I want to go to him, and him bringing about what has been one of the difference makers in his life is optimism. And Rush had said at one point, can we take a minute to recognize how lucky we are to live in this country at this time, despite what's going on?
You know, after 9/11, they found Bush reading to four-year-olds in a school in Florida and had to go get him and tell him what happened. And Peter Jennings, well, you know, some presidents are better at this than others, meaning comforting the American people. It was a slap at Bush, and it was a pat on the back to Bill Clinton. It's the same old, these Republicans, they don't care. They don't care about you. They have no compassion. They have no heart. And to boot, they're idiots. They can't talk. They can't reason. They can't explain. And it's so sad because they're so thick that they can't understand the complexity of a situation. Meanwhile, not a one of these people has ever accomplished 5% of what Donald Trump has. Not a one of them could do Donald Trump's job given what he faces opposition-wise. They wouldn't last a day putting up with what Donald Trump has to put up with. They haven't accomplished in their lives anything close to what Donald Trump has. And yet here we have to sit here and listen to the fact that they don't think Trump understands the complexities of the job. Whereas, of course, Obama and any other Democrat would. These clowns that tell us who's smart, the elites, the brilliant people, they're the ones that got us in this mess in the first place. They're the ones that don't understand market economies, don't believe in market economies. They're the ones that put everything in front of America because America doesn't deserve to be a superpower. America has a price to pay for stealing so much around the world. I get so sick and impatient. So I don't have room for panic here, folks. I don't have emotional room. I don't have emotional time for panic. Also not panicking because it's going to end. All this stuff does. If one thing my life has taught me is that there are cycles up, down, good, bad. And I don't care what anybody says. There is no better time to be alive as a human being on planet Earth than March 12th, 2020 and going forward. And there's no better place to be alive on planet Earth than the United States of America on March 12th, 2020. And this is all going to end. And it's going to end when somebody finally wakes up and realizes it's nowhere near as bad, and it's not going to get as bad as everybody is afraid that it might be, as some people want it to be. And then we're going to move forward, and this economy is going to rebound. The stock market's going to rebound. It's going to shock everybody. And it's probably going to happen way before the November elections, which is going to really disappoint the media and really disappoint the Democrat Party.
That's the Maharishi doing what he does better than any human being has ever done. And so to jump off of what Rush said in that clip, I want to talk about things that we now know and that we can now carry forward for future generations for our lifetime. These are things that we have learned. Number one, Taiwan. Taiwan is effectively free of the Wuhan virus. Wuhan virus. COVID-19. Taiwan. That China is trying to steal next door to China. How are they? Because they recognize China for what it is. The leadership in Taiwan understands China to be what China is. It is a malignant. Let me be clear. The Chinese government is a malignancy. First of all, against its own people. Secondly, against the world. They continue to have these flus come up because of the wet markets, the lack of hygiene. They can't be bothered to change that because it's a moneymaker for them. So what did Taiwan do? They learned from the last epidemic, the SARS epidemic. China's not going to tell the truth. The first time they got a sniff that this was going on, the Taiwanese started to monitor flights, monitor people coming in from Wuhan. Then they got the ventilators out because they'd planned for that. Then they started to mobilize. They had 127 protocols in place already for this, and they are effectively free of the virus, of the Wuhan virus, and they're next door to China. They're controlled by China. China wants to absorb them. They did those things without the permission of China. They acted in defiance of the regime, the dictators of China. So now we know. Taiwan, next door to China, recognizes China for what it is. We have an opportunity to learn. Optimism. We've learned something. China is a malignancy. They're going to continue to produce these viruses because the government doesn't care about human life over there, not their citizens or their subjects and not yours. So that's an opportunity for us. We've learned this. The other thing that we've learned is that Congress has given way too much power to the bureaucracy. Now, a lot of us knew that. But if we had an honest media, they could report this. When you have to have a president of the United States say that in the case of an emergency, doctors can work across state lines. A doctor who's licensed to work in the state of California can go work in the state of Washington or the state of Texas in the midst of an emergency, that it took a presidential act to do that should cause us to look at something. Could, in fact, the federal government offer a federal license if that's what it takes? Not that I think the federal government's going to be any better at licensing doctors than states. But if they could do that, then we could have doctors not have to wait to get the approval. I'm sorry, I can't. I see your leg is broken and your femur, you know, is broken in half and you're bleeding all over, but I'm only licensed in the state of Texas. We've learned this. These learnings go with us. They don't have to stay in the disaster. They go with us. We've learned that the best university labs, the best private labs in the United States, which would likely mean in the world, needed the permission of the Center for Disease Control in order to create tests for the Wuhan virus. And I have an article here. I'm trying to get to this in more depth later in the show. It turns out that apparently the CDC lied to the president of the United States. Oh, yeah, we've got the test thing nailed. We're good. But they weren't. We turned to the private market. Look what we have. We're working on having, they're working to get something you stab your finger, put your fingerprint on it. Now you've been tested. The self-swabbing kits that are coming out. Do you see how quickly that has moved? These are things that we have learned. We've also learned this. Our healthcare system has been appropriated by the government insurance company Combine. No bigger lobbyists than insurance companies who succeeded in forcing you to buy a product you don't want from companies you don't like at prices you can't afford for services you will never use. Our emergency room structure is hurting. We don't have enough emergency rooms. Solution. You, Harvard University, have a $49 billion endowment, something along those lines. Got an idea. You continue to take federal monies where people who've never been to college underwrite your doctors to go there. Okay, they're going to, maybe they'll go be doctors. A lot of them turn out to be MBAs, by the way, because they want to be medical administrators. That's where the money is. How about this? You go to Harvard, you use any federal taxpayer money, congratulations, you're working in an ER until it's paid back. Then this is something else we've learned. Obamacare stole from surgeons the right to expand their practices. So you have private surgeons, private facilities. Obamacare said you can't add new equipment, you can't expand them. They made those doctors join hospitals. How about if we had a better distributed healthcare system where emergency surgeries and emergency processes could be undertaken by entrepreneurial doctors? We've learned so much. There's reason to be optimistic if we'll act on this information. Information is not power. Information is potential power. If we'll act on these learnings, the next time China has a flu, the Chinese government allows, we can be like Taiwan and not be that affected or affected at all. It's Todd Herman in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. Hey, thanks for listening to Rush's show. It is a tremendous honor, and if I get to do it again, it will always, forever be a tremendous honor. On Twitter, so Schumer and Manchin want tighter control of the monies given to the corporations. I didn't see them asking the same questions. When Obama's stimulus was passed or when Manchin's daughter upped the price of the EpiPen. Good, solid, strong point. Thank you for that. Let's talk to Randy in Ocala, Florida. Randy, welcome to Rush Limbaugh's program. It's Todd Herman keeping the seat warm for El Rushbo.
Todd, thank you so much. I'm a 29-year listener and a graduate of the EIB Institute, and I know my job as a caller, which is to make the host look good.
Well done.
You make that so easy because you bring us positive, conservative solutions just in line with what Rush says and what line with what the president says. And one of the solutions that's been discussed is a payroll tax holiday. And you said, well, let's go one better. Let's end the payroll taxes. That's the largest tax that 80% of American workers pay. And we can end the payroll tax, end the income tax, end the investment taxes, and replace them with a single, flat, simple sales tax on new goods, and we can do it at almost the flip of a switch. So let's go with the payroll tax holiday now, and then let's pass H.R. 25, which is the Fair Tax Act of 2019, and you will watch this economy take off like it's been shot full of rocket fuel, because that's what will really help small business. Get this tax burden off their back.
Randy, I couldn't agree more, and I will make one. I'll make one correction to you, though, sir. There are no graduates of the EIB Academy, of EIB Institute. There's no graduates because Rush continues to teach. So that's one thing that I would just add. But you did a great job of making me look good, and I'm going to say something about the fair tax, Randy. If you don't know what this is, it's a consumption-based sales tax. You can learn about it at fairtax.org. Okay, they don't pay anything. This is me. This is just me, Todd. I just like this approach. This would revolutionize the country. You get a waiver for about the first $50,000, $60,000 you spend, depending on your family, et cetera, how many kids you have. After that, things are taxed on a flat rate. Want to know what happens? No longer can Nancy Pelosi sell your pain. No longer can she work out secret deals to sell your pain to people like she's done now. She's selling your pain to her lobbyists at the big unions, et cetera. Everybody pays the same rate. The IRS is gone, and people are incentivized to save versus spending because you're taxed on that spend. Secondly, when you look at a house that's built, you look at a house that stands tall that you built that, you have value-added taxes on the cutting down of the tree. There's a tax. Now, the processing of the tree, the shipping of the tree, there's tax at every level. You take a $600,000 house, it's suddenly $200,000, but the house is just as good. Great call, Randy. I appreciate that very, very much. This is another thing we've learned, is the potency of acts like this. Let's take what we're learning in this terrible, terrible circumstance. So many people afraid. Let's take the learnings. Let's start taking a list. Let's you and I together create a list of things that we're learning in this circumstance. You don't always get the outcome you want in life, but you get an outcome. This is the outcome we're in now. People are scared. Some people's health is bad. I want to go through a comparison in next segment between a listener who sent me a note from Montana and a person I know in New York. This is another thing we've learned, is we're doing a one-size-fits-none solution. You like these emails, the way they compare. Let's talk to Bob on the road in Maryland. Bob, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in.
Hi, Todd. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm a small practitioner in Maryland, accountant, have some small business clients, small restaurants. All small business, and big ones too, pay their payroll taxes on the EFTPS or something like that, government website. There's codes, there's bank account numbers, there's passwords. It's all protected. It's all secure. You make your payroll, you pay your payroll taxes to the government. What if the government, what if there was a way to ask the government to cover your next couple of payrolls, gross pay, all pay, and ask the government to transfer from its bank account into your bank account, and this could happen instantly, could happen tomorrow, your gross payroll with full accountability. They know you, they know your number, they know your situation, they know where you are. You would get reimbursed your payroll. You would run a payroll and give your employees who are laid off now and not working their payroll checks supported by the government.
It's a great idea, supported by the taxpayer, because the government doesn't have any money, but it's a great idea. And then there would be this. We'd have the opportunity to go down and track down any fraudsters, because remember, Medicare, forgive this, Medicaid or Medicare, Medicare, I believe, has a 10% of their budget goes to fraud. So you're saying we know who you are, we've got your EIN, employee identification number, we've got that, we've got your Social Security number if you're not using an EIN. So if all this, we can track you down. See, this is the sort of creativity to look at in places like this, because it's also targeted. My biggest challenge with the relief bill is it's not targeted. It seems so broadly based. Right. Let's talk about the population we need to help, and let's help them first. Bob, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate that. You see what I'm saying with this bill is that it seems that we're going to send money to everybody. I want to know the targeted populations we're helping. I would suggest that we start in the hot zone cities. Los Angeles is a hot zone. New York is the hot zone. Seattle has been a hot zone. That we start in these cities. Why are we talking about a countrywide thing? Well, there are people who are employees of Boeing or other companies that have been shut down. Some retailers are shut down nationwide. Okay, so now we expand the pool a little bit. All right, so we're talking about people who work for a national retailer who shut down. Now we've expanded the pool, but it's still not everybody. One of our callers did the math and said, well, we're talking about $66 million per person, right? So why don't we use that to put people up in luxury places where they can be quarantined? There's so much to be learned in this. We come back, more calls. I want to get a ton of your phone calls in. 800-282-2882. How you view the bailout bill. Want to hear what you think about the president's approach to this. Love to hear from small business owners and how you're weathering this storm. 800-282-2882. I will tell you this. We're a huge nation. And there is this temptation to want to treat us all as one. So we come back. I want to share a couple of emails. One from a listener in Montana. A listener to my radio show I do in the morning. Another from a friend of mine in New York who's having these distinctly different experiences. But I will stitch this together this way. The president is the president of 330 million people. He has told you something very important. The walking of this razor's edge, the razor being the gap between the economy and the health, that man is demonstrating the greatest quality of any great leader. He's saying he's going to do the hardest of things, and he's announcing it. He deserves enormous credit, does Donald Trump, for that. Enormous credit. It's an act of bravery. It's Todd Herman in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. I was just reading some of the comments to social media. I appreciate all the notes, and particularly the incredible prayer chain that started for Rush Limbaugh. It's Todd Herman filling in. 800-282-2882. If you want to be part of the program, as Rush might say. Reading this in the state of Texas, I say this only because we started the program with words of optimism from Maharishi. And playing off of that, then things that we've learned and things we can take with us, and that this can turn into an advantage for us in the future if we'll keep track of what we learned. There's still miraculous things going on in this nation. And people just amaze me with their good cheer. I read this piece about a pastor named Stephen Wilson. Crazy, crazy man. Nuts. He became religious, found God, decided, hey, you know what? I committed some crimes. I'm going to turn myself in for crimes I committed. He lives in the state of Texas. He went to prison. He walked in and said, I committed these crimes. I'm changing my life. I'm going to go to prison. You know what he found out in these prisons? The state of Texas has a 21% recidivism rate compared to a national recidivism rate of 60 to 80%. Why? Optimism. Why? Because they've brought a belief in something larger than themselves. They brought a belief in God. They study in this to these men in these prisons. The recidivism rate has gone down. What did they not do? They didn't give in to despair. What did they not do? They didn't say, well, these guys can't be, they can't be saved. They can't be turned around, saved religiously, but also more to the point of this program, saved societally. If this can happen in the midst of this and what we're facing, imagine the things we can do based upon the learnings. Taiwan is largely unaffected from COVID, from the Wuhan flu. I can't even say COVID-19. I can't say that the right way. I'm saying it the wrong way. I've been saying Wuhan flu so much, I can't even go to the other way. What we're facing now, what we're going through now, can turn into an amazing advantage for us if we'll keep track of the learnings and if we will follow the president down this razor's edge. And just what he's going to walk between the economy and health is so incredible and such an act of bravery. John from Frost, Texas, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Hi, John.
Hey, Todd. Boy, I tell you, you got it going. I'm so proud of Trump because he's a citizen president, which is what our founding fathers really intended. And there's the fabric of America is just is amazing. I live near a rural community. I mentioned Frost. I live 2.5 miles out of that. I'm 23 miles, three different Walmarts. So I'm in a rural area. I have people calling me, offering me, I'm going to the store. Can I help you? Mm-hmm. It's just amazing how food shows up. We help each other. We don't depend on the government for everything. I worked in North Korea so much they call me Grandfather John. I worked in Iran during Desert Storm and also during the earthquake. Been doing this work for 50 years. Got asthma from 9/11, working 3 months cleaning 750 apartments. I'm only 85.
That's
it's just amazing how people can help each other just with a phone call. Yeah. I'm so thrilled with the strength of the American fabric that's beneath the politics, beneath all that sort of mess.
Go ahead. Yeah, I was just going to say, it's just a beautiful thing you're saying, John. I was talking this morning. I've mentioned this a couple of times. I guess I'll just say it. I saw a receptionist this morning at the radio station in Seattle, in which I work, and I said, good morning, Donna. And I said, how are you? She said, I'm okay. And she always says, I'm good. And I noticed the difference. And I'm someone who turns to these things. I said, well, wait a minute. You always say good. What's going on? And she shared with me she'd lost two jobs. She's worried about losing this job because we're on lockdown in Washington State. And that act of talking to her, I got to learn something about her, but I also got to share with her some humanity. And now people will gather around her. This is who we are. And this is why we're going to succeed in this, is because we're turning to our neighbors. Even as the government does its thing and President Trump is trying very hard, we're turning to our neighbors. John, that's a great phone call. I appreciate that very, very much. And to see what John's done here. Is we bookmarked this. We start with Texas and this thing that's going on in the prisons, the low recidivism rate. Now, see what other gift he's offered. He's offered the fabric of the nation. Let me read just two emails from you. Just a reminder that the president is the president of 330 million people. He's not the president of New York, which is a hot zone, or Los Angeles, which is a hot zone. Those cities are hurting. It's incredibly scary there. They have to treat things differently than some of the rest of the nation. But he's the president of the entire United States of America. These are two quick messages, one from a listener to my local show in Seattle, Karen. You've mentioned wondering if there's been an overreaction to the virus. I, too, had this concern, especially being here in Montana. The governor shut down the schools as soon as there was a first case in our state, and most of the small businesses are closed as well. I regularly check our Department of Health and Human Services site for updates on the spread of the virus. We currently have 34 cases, of which half no longer have it, zero deaths. On the same site, out of curiosity, I looked at the influenza stats. This past week alone, we had 869 cases, 29 hospitalizations, and one death. Montana alone had 10,739 cases of influenza and 13 deaths. Our population is still under 1 million during the flu season for, 4 to 5 months? I realized the China virus is an unknown. There's not a cure. But the proportion to which this stuff is being done seems crazy. Just had to get that off my chest. That's Montana. I would suggest to you that Montana is a different nation, not just a different state, but a different nation than is New York City. So now let's go to this. And this comes from a friend of mine in New York. So my friend writes, the rational side of me agrees with the note from the listener in Montana that you shared. I totally get what the listener's saying, but it's a very different thing here in New York City. There's so much uncertainty in not knowing who to trust, especially politicians and the media. I want things to get back to normal. Believe me, I live in an apartment, which is a very different quarantine situation than a nice big house in the suburbs with a yard. I'd like nothing more than to be able to get out and go back to work. But I'm totally freaked out at the same time because cases blowing up in the city. An acquaintance 2 blocks from me in the East Village is in the ICU. Granted, not the healthiest guy to begin with, but not old either. Two different experiences from two great human beings, both going through this in different ways. My point is this. We are a fabric of a country with a different states, different experiences that should be treated differently. We're also different people health-wise. If you take one thing away from the show, it's just this. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an epidemiologist. I could never be a scientist. It's not what I do. I read all weekend long. I had a tactic in mind, a goal in mind. What are the commonalities? Get rid of the arguments. Everybody can disagree on protocols and this protocol and this drug combination and that drug combination, this far of a lockdown, etc. What are the commonalities in the scientists who are arguing? They all agree that I read there are three populations. This country is good enough. We are strong enough. We have enough caring that we can take the people in the top group. These are the people that they're old and they have comorbid conditions. If they get in touch with the virus, it's going to kill them. We can make sure that they're quarantined in a safe way. We can communicate that through all the channels. The president could speak to the nation. Here's what must happen. Then the second layer down are people who are likely to get sick and may die. They can be quarantined at home, but with strict protocols that the American people can learn. The third group are the people who are very, very unlikely to get real sick with this. Some of us almost infinitesimally unlikely to even feel it. We can get back to work. We could also build a herd immunity. This is another commonality in the articles I'm reading, people talking about herd immunities. We had a doctor call into Rush's program saying, and I read it two or three epidemiologists this weekend about herd immunities, that when enough people are immune to this, the disease, the virus, does not have a place to live. So in this fabric of America, these different states, these different experiences of this virus, we've got different people with different needs. Right now, the elderly and the people with comorbid conditions need to be protected. We must commit to that. We've got the money, $66 million per person in the stimulus bill. Then you've got the rest of us. We need to get back to work, not just for us, because the failure to get this country operating economically will lead to long-term mental health issues. It will lead to long-term physical health issues. It's inexorably true. The financial decline of the world's lifeboat could lead to a world catastrophe. President Trump is going to walk that razor's line. That is a phenomenal decision. Come back with more of your phone calls, 800-282-2882. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. Ken Matthews is here yesterday. Great job. Mark Stein and I, well, I think I speak for all of us, but it's an incredible honor to fill in for Rush. He so wants to be with you. He's taking care of what needs to get taken care of. Let's talk to Susan in Lexington, Kentucky. Susan, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in.
Well, hello, Todd.
Hello, Susan.
I just want to say I appreciated those great and positive words from Al Rushbaugh, America's mighty freedom fighter.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Thank you.
And I look forward to his return, even with his half his brain tied behind his back. We're looking forward to him being back.
Good. You know the program well. I know you called about the CDC in a question, right?
Well, I did. I'm just wondering how they might feel if one of your loved ones was one of the 41,000 who since October had died of influenza and not even a blink was given to their passing.
Mm. Wow. That is a potent point. And we're talking all about the Wuhan virus, but people lost 41,000 human beings, family members, mm-hmm. fathers, sisters, to influenza, and no one cared, except for the families. Wow.
Nothing closed, nothing shut down, not a blink of an eye. I would be totally offended to look and see what's happening now when everyone weathered the storm of their passing, nonetheless precious than every person who may be passing now. Their preciousness is just significant. It's significant. Their loss of life is just as real to those grieving families.
That is just a brilliant and potent point and something for us to reflect upon. The media has driven such panic around this. And look, it's a serious thing. There's no cure. We understand that. But the media, Susan, they're so obsessed. They're so obsessed with saying the pilot doesn't have control of the airplane. They're so obsessed with saying the doctor has lost his scalpel. This is what they want to do to this president, and they see it as an opportunity. And it's a crime. It's an opportunity. It's a criminal act, in my judgment, of an opportunity to take a national emergency and use it to steal election. I appreciate the phone call, Susan. That was incredible. This is so important that you hear this. This is Rush Limbaugh predicting what the Democrats would do about this. This is what Rush said before he left about Trump's response to this. Every day, it's proving to be more and more true.
I read a piece today where the drive-by media, forget where it was, Trump has got to realize this isn't about him. Coronavirus isn't about him. He doesn't think it's about him. You know, I sit here, like I was talking yesterday, I remain totally perplexed, and I know I ought not be, but I am, at the continual utter ignorance and lack of understanding that political professionals in Washington have, understanding Donald Trump's support, understanding the people that support him, understand the people who make up his base. They continue to exhibit a degree of arrogant ignorance that's just mind-boggling to me. Donald Trump does not think this is about him. It is in their convoluted minds. They're telling us more about who they are when they engage in this distant analysis of Trump. Like, they're trying to make people believe that Trump doesn't care a whit about you, doesn't care a whit about your family, that all Trump cares about is whether or not his image is going to be hurt because of coronavirus. And so as far as Trump is concerned, the coronavirus is all about him and about his reputation and about his future. And if these people haven't figured out that if there is one politician in America today who actually does care about the American people, it's Donald Trump. And you can see it every day simply from the policies that he tries to implement, the policies that he supports, the agenda that he has implemented. He's all about making America great, not about making Trump great. In his mind, he's already great. Doesn't have to get any greater than he is. It isn't about him. You know, go back. We played a soundbite from Trump's town hall that he had with the Fox News people last week, which is the highest rated town hall Fox has ever had. And he always portrays the truth at some point, even when he is being jocular, even when he's joking. And he said to Brett Baer, I actually think we're saving the country. Saving the country? Well, that obviously isn't about him. He doesn't need to be saved. Trump's got it made. Trump has made it. The old American vernacular. Doesn't have to save himself. Saving the country is about preserving it for its people. And I remain flabbergasted that Trump's critics from top to bottom and left to right, never Trumpers on our side, rabid leftists on their side, continue to think that Trump's ego is so self-evolved and self-focused that he doesn't care or isn't concerned about anybody else. Look, I can tell you anecdotally, firsthand experience, Donald Trump cares about a lot more than himself. There's a part of me that says they do understand this. They just can't let go of it. They can't let go of this way of criticizing Trump. They can't let go of the idea that they are going to find a way to distance Trump supporters from Trump. They're going to find a way to drive a wedge. And they're going to keep using the same techniques that have failed now for 4+ years and counting.
Okay, that's Mahal Rushi talking about what they were going to do and how Trump was going to act. And here's what you see. This is where we're at. Come back and wrap up the show. It's Todd Herman in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. Thank you to Team EIB in New York, Mike, Greg, Keith, Bo, Ali, everybody for holding this all together. It's just been an honor to fill in. Thank you for listening to the phone calls. I know, like, it's easy to get down about our circumstance, but you know what? We're not Italy. Did you read this? This is phenomenal. There is a epidemiologist in Italy, or probably a virologist, Robert Birioni. He's being labeled a right-wing wacko, which shouldn't surprise people because he spoke common sense. He was saying when the Italians were starting to notice that the Wuhan virus was taking over, hey, maybe we should not hug Chinese tourists. Not to be mean, but I don't know that Chinese tourists want to be hugged. But no, that wasn't okay. The mayor, of Florence, Mayor Dario Nardella, knowing that the virus was there, promoted a hug a Chinese person, which is not only pandering, because I don't know, he walk up, hey, are you Chinese? Why? Well, I need to hug you because the mayor said so. So at least we've not reached that level of stupidity, but that's why we vote. Vote. Todd Herman in for Rush Limbaugh.